This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
That would be me. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Friday, November 22nd. Nice to have you along. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk to our friend, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. There was some developments late yesterday as President-elect Trump's nominee to be Attorney General, Matt Gaetz, withdrew his name. The new designated nominee isn't really that much better. We'll talk to Jim Santel about that. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of the Trump transition. And we will talk to Dan Schumacher about sports. But first, we're going to talk to Brittany Merlot about the weather forecast on this Friday morning, where temperatures haven't changed a smidge since last hour. It's 37 here in Chippewa, 38 in Wausau, 40 in La Crosse. Amory's at 35. It's 39 in Rapids, 43 in Green Bay, 42 in Madison, 37 in Waukesha, and 42 at Radio Park in Racine, where we find Greg. Brittany, how are you? How are things looking for the weekend? Oh, hang on. I had you muted there. There you go. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fantastic. I'm excited for the weekend. Temperatures, like you had mentioned, are just hovering there. They're not really rising much today either. They're only going to climb to about the low to mid 40s. We've still got some feisty winds out of the northwest, probably gusting around 20 to 25 miles per hour. So much, much calmer than yesterday, that's for sure. But the clouds aren't going anywhere. Mostly cloudy skies today. We could see some spots of sunshine through tomorrow. And the winds finally calm down tomorrow as well. Before Sunday, we're looking at those clouds returning and also chances of rain pushing in by the afternoon and a wintry mix, potentially a very, very light one up north, which of course has the potential to flip to some light snow accumulations Sunday night and into Monday. So we are looking at that for the weekend and cooler temperatures too, because tonight we fall below freezing and we're going to keep doing that for the weekend, and then we'll fall to the teens as overnight lows into next week. So some much cooler weather right on our back doorstep once again.
Okay, and the cooler weather leads us to some sad news that we want to pass along as a note of caution. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 39, 4/10 of an inch of snow and melted snow. He said that Wednesday night his cousin Larry, who lived in Le Sueur, Minnesota, was salting the sidewalks by his church, slipped and fell, landed on his head, had a brain aneurysm, and somebody walking their dogs found him. He was taken to a local hospital but passed away at 3 a.m. Yesterday. He was very close to his cousin Larry and his wife Cindy. I used to stay at their houses, he writes, in years earlier. So, Rob, our condolences to you on the loss of your cousin, and sadly a reminder that these surfaces do get slippery, and to take this very seriously, and to also take seriously deer hunting season that starts this weekend. People are better about gun safety. They're still not great about heart safety. And we still have a lot of heart attacks and things like that that happen in the woods, mm-hmm. Brittany, on weekends like the opening of the gun deer season.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is all so sad and scary news. The ice is just terrifying. I hate it. It is my worst fear in the weather because it's hard to see and it's just so deadly in so many situations. So, Rob, I'm so sorry. And this weekend, yes, deer hunting. Please be safe out there. Please, please, yes. Please. And also, watch out for the elk, too. They can be confusing.
That's actually, I was going to bring up that point. It's you'll find it on the Up North News Facebook page where we have a post about, you know, don't guess. Know if you're shooting at a deer versus an elk. It could be a calf, regardless of whatever size elk it is. That could get you in some trouble. So know your target and know it very clearly. And yeah, be careful on those surfaces. I had a friend a couple of years back. She, was my age, slipped in her driveway, hit the back of her head hard. She's all fine, except for absolutely no sense of smell. and, you know, some residual headaches. And so even if it's not a, you know, a life-ending tragedy, it's one that can do some serious damage. So everybody, we don't mean to be down, but please be careful out there this weekend in all sorts of ways. On the roads, too. Saw those DOT cameras. People still got to be working on the winter driving skills.
Oh, yes. Yes, you do. Remember, slow. Give space. Come on. Take your time, everybody.
Yeah.
Especially for you guys. Well, not guys, but anyone driving four-wheel drive, all-wheel, like, people whose cars can handle this kind of weather well, that's great. But not everyone's can, and you scare the living biscuits out of people when you just drive past like a crazy person.
Right, and it gives people the false sense of security. Like, oh, I guess the roads are fine if that person just went past. Yeah. Well, you don't know how their car handles differently from yours. And semi-drivers, please knock it off. It's just the rest of us are doing 45 and it comes barreling past at 70 miles an hour. It's like, okay,
yeah.
you're just going to end up getting us all in trouble. Tony writes from Ashland, slow and steady wins the race.
Leave 10 minutes earlier. You'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. Rob also asked Brittany, how's the weather going to be on his trip back to Minnesota? Quiet.
Quiet. Yeah. If it's this weekend, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Not okay. Too bad. The winds are going to ease down tomorrow. Best day to go.
All right. Brittany, we hope you have a nice, pleasant weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You too. Bye, guys.
All right. 7:12 is the time right now. The Milwaukee Bucks play the Indiana Pacers at home tonight. The second round of, what do they call it? The NBA Emirates Cup tournament, the in-season tournament that they're doing. So that's Indiana tonight. Then they'll play Charlotte at home on Saturday. The Packers play Sunday at 3:25. Against the San Francisco 49ers. The Badger women's basketball team defeated UIC last night, 61-57 at the Kohl Center. So that's a little bit of sports, and you'll get sports updates all throughout the day here on Civic Media and on your favorite Civic Media station. My phone has been blowing up, Greg, on the newest platform that's all the rage, Blue Sky.
I was going to say MySpace. Okay, never mind.
No. Yeah, my CompuServe is going crazy right now.
Ask Jeeves will not stop asking me, do you love Blue Sky or what?
No, the notifications of new followers, which is very nice. And I'm going to come down firmly on the side of Blue Sky. There are people expressing doubts like, oh, this is just the latest thing that's going to disappoint us. No. Twitter really is a dumpster fire. And, you know, Elon Musk has completely ruined it. And I say in all sincerity, Blue Sky is, I'm not going to say it's always going to stay this way, but it is right now what Twitter used to be. At first, I wasn't sure, but so many people have come on board, like a million people a day almost since the election. And it now is a valid source of information. There are enough, either news sites or at least news reporters on there that I can get information out there. And people are noticing that when they go back to check Twitter, it's just getting lonely. It's like that John Travolta gif, looking around the room.
That's what I said to Jane last week when we were talking about this on Matt and Air on Air, 10 a.m. to noon every Monday through Friday on Pacific Media. I was telling her that it felt emptier. And what's there still, I mean, I still have friends there. I still have people I follow, but it's like there's so much reaction to all the crud and junk there. But
yes.
I don't know if you heard, but some of these same right winger conspiracy theorists are starting to join Blue Sky and immediately getting like suspended, community
blocked.
Notes kicked off, like because
the way it used to be on Twitter. Right. Yeah. Twitter actually used to have standards for this kind of thing under the previous ownership.
Yes.
And Mr. Free Speech, Elon Musk, is like, well, it's free speech for Nazis. We're going to throttle other content that we don't agree with.
Yeah.
And that's exactly he did exactly what he was accusing the previous owners of doing. What a shock that a billionaire would do something like that. So, again, I don't know if Blue Sky is going to stay this way, but it is where it is now. If you're getting on it, you should be able to find me easily enough, and would love to have you follow along.
I just followed you on Blue Sky just now because Mr. Luke Mathers, the handsome and capable, told me that he got me added to a starter pack.
Oh, yes.
And the starter packs are amazing. You can do your own. I have my own. It's just some people, I'm very new at this, so there's not a lot in there. I'll add more or make a new one. But I got added to one, and I'm seeing the followers already. And in that starter pack is one Mr. Pat Carlo.
I didn't know I was in somebody's starter pack already.
Yep, Corey Hess.
Oh, how nice is that?
Yeah.
I really do like the starter pack thing. Because, again, if you're already, if you're feeling validated by somebody that you follow and they say, hey, here are some people that I follow, that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Is, you know, give me some reputable, trusted sources for information.
Yeah.
And I hope folks do that. Now, I sadly have to stay on Twitter. Being a news outlet, you have to go wherever people are. There are still people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the experience is going to be a lot different. And yeah. I'm going to do much more posting on Blue Sky. Blue Sky has already, I guess, passed Threads, which was Facebook's yeah. alternative to
yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah.
And so we're on the Blue Sky. We're on the Threads. We're on the Twitter. We're on the Face page, Instagram, TikTok. We're on all of it. But we know who the cool new kid, the new kid in town, as the Eagles would sing, is right there at Blue Sky.
I mean, I'm loving it. I'm like, actually, when I sign in, I'm like, oh, this feels nice.
Yeah. Happy anniversary to Fiskars, which we know is the orange-handled scissors company, whose American headquarters are in Middleton. But they were founded in Finland. This is their 375th anniversary. Which seems
what?
Weird. And the PR person there was like, yeah, people are always trying to correct us. Like, did we get this wrong? No. They were founded that much long before the United States was. They were founded as an ironworks at a small town in Finland back in 1649.
That's so cool.
They opened up their first scissors factory in the U.S. In 1977. Their U.S. operations are based in Middleton near Madison. And yeah, they are marking 375 years in the scissors business. And I love the story here about the orange-handled scissors, which they're so known for. It was, as so many other things are, completely an accident.
Yeah.
They were trying out different prototypes, black handles, red handles, green handles. As the prototype went into production, it says here, the machinist decided to finish off the orange color that was already in the machine. So the prototypes came out as black, red, green, and orange, and then orange and black, and then they decided orange was the most popular. And so it's through that one guy's accident going, I got some leftover orange. I'm going to put this in here. That's all. They got the orange handle that they're so known for.
What's the name of the company again?
Fiskars, F-I-S-K-A-R-S.
Orange, you glad you got a pair of Fiskars scissors?
So we're going to pause right here for a break. And when we come back, our friend, U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, will talk to us about the Attorney General, the new nominee, now that Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, is with us, also the host of Amicus, a law review that you can hear Saturday mornings live at 9 a.m. across many Civic Media stations. Playback on Sunday as well. Learn more at civicmedia.us. Jim, how are you this morning?
Pat, great to be with you. My only deficit in life is that apparently I'm not in Greg's starter pack. If we can remedy that somehow,
everything else
will be good in on my part of the universe.
Well, you know what? That's Luke Mathers, who I know is listening right now, because Luke just sent me a note saying that we already have Blue Sky links connected to Civic Media news articles to make it easier to share them on the new social media list. So, Mr. Mathers, if you don't have Mr. Santel in that starter pack, then you got one more thing to put on the to-do list.
Maybe not Luke's priority today, but when he gets to everything else, then attend to that, Luke.
He will. I don't doubt that one moment at all. All right. Well, let's talk for a moment about President-elect Trump. We know that his original choice for attorney general, the, shall we say, embattled and morally challenged Matt Gaetz, withdrew his name yesterday. But we don't have to dwell too much on this guy. I still feel like his day is coming in terms of justice. But let's set Gaetz aside. It's the new nominee, Pam Bondi, the former Florida attorney general. And this has always been one of the frustrations about covering this campaign, where I've said before, folks who pay attention to the news understand all of Trump's many legal entanglements and deficiencies. Folks that don't follow the news, they just think, oh, Trump's a cool guy. Well, let's hear about the former Florida attorney general and, you know, why maybe her past does not lend itself to being qualified to run the United States Department of Justice. What can you tell us about Pam Bondi?
Sure. So the predicate is, as we talked before, Pat, was that way back in the 2003, 4, and 5, Donald Trump put together something called Trump University. He said at the time, it's supposed to be altruistic, probably not in the end. And the idea was that you would promote education, specifically in the real estate area, imparting lots of knowledge, he said. Well, it turns out not so much. One of the participants in that wrote, for example, requesting that we raise our credit limit on our credit cards at lunch Friday, sent a somewhat transparent statement about what this organization is about. In any event, as a result of all kinds of things related to fraud, a whole bunch of lawsuits filed 2010, 2013. And along the way, there is obviously attorneys general around the country are focusing on that. Why? Because they have victims, students of Trump University, were victimized by this fraud, which is pay your money, do not get the academic support that you're supposed to do. And indeed, in the end, Donald Trump agreed to pay $25 million in a settlement for those who attended the university 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. It was one of Donald Trump's many disasters. Along the way, and then we get to Pam Bondi. Along the way, she at the time was the attorney general, Pat, as you just said. And while her office is a part of the many attorneys general offices that are at least investigating this and determining this, she faced questions about a $25,000 donation years earlier from Donald Trump. And of course, the problem with that is that it's the appearance of impropriety. It may in fact be some other problem, but while you're investigating an entity for fraud, victims in your state under your jurisdiction, you're also accepting donations for your political campaign to keep you in that office. That's the problem. She maintains nothing improper about the donation, nothing improper about the decision. It certainly just looks very bad.
The decision to really pull her punches and not go after Trump University. And then Trump himself got into trouble because the $25,000 contribution didn't come out of Trump's pocket. It came out of one of his nonprofits.
Exactly. And that too, all of this is bad. And so the source of the money is also a problem. Again, a nonprofit not supposed to be doing these kinds of things. And as you say, in the timing on this speaks volumes. When in fact you've gotten this, you're a part of the investigation, you're pursuing it, and you decide in the end not to go ahead with it. You know, presumably there are materials and memorandums inside her office contemporaneous with this about the reasons why. That would be interesting, again, for a Senate Judiciary Committee to inquire. Let's go back and look at some of the documents, some of the notes written by investigators. Let's look at back at your decision memorandums that you and others may have written, timing on them, the specific reasons why. You'd like to think that the decision was because the merits of this were not strong. We know that that's not the case. In the end, other attorneys general went ahead with precisely this, and it resulted in some very large settlements.
Right.
Again, more than just appearance of impropriety, she has some explaining to do on this and other things.
But rather than do that, she is, you know, fully on board Team Trump. She was part of his impeachment defense team. And then, in my mind, worst of all, in terms of disqualifying her to be attorney general, she was a leading supporter and super spreader of Trump's made up claims about election fraud back in 2020. I certainly would have a tough time seeing an election denier as somebody who would do an impartial and capable job heading up the Department of Justice, Jim.
Absolutely. And so, again, a reason for the Senate Judiciary Committee to inquire very, very particularly into that behavior. We know that there was nothing there. We know 60 different lawsuits are filed. None of them result in a finding of any fraud at all when it comes to the 2020 election. You are promoting to a court some information upon which you filed this lawsuit. You can file the lawsuit. The question is, do you have a predicate for doing it? And if not, you're again in big trouble, should be in big trouble with the bar. Another unrelated story here, of course, you've got Michael Gableman right here in the state of Wisconsin. Same kinds of things, something for another day, but same kinds of things, misrepresentations about what you're doing, especially when it comes to the 2020 election. And beyond that, as you said, the very connection with Donald Trump, she was one of his lawyers. That may not be disqualifying in its superficial approach, but the problem is, again, you've had this attorney-client relationship with him. What kinds of things have been disclosed to you back and forth that right. You now know for all time that may be relevant to your work as Attorney General? That's yes. A concern as well.
And as much as I would have loved to have picked on Michael Gableman some more, I know you're going to talk about it tomorrow on Amicus, and we're going to talk about it Monday morning at 7:30 with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, one of the leading groups advocating disciplinary action against the former justice for his handling his so-called investigation. So listen to Jim talk about it as well, I'm sure, on Amicus, a law review tomorrow morning at 9. Jim, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, gentlemen. Take care.
All righty. When we come back, Mark Jacob will be here to talk about coverage of the transition as well. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
If you missed it earlier in today's history lesson, Toy Story made its first appearance today in 1995. Monday, as we mentioned, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward will be here. Tuesday, veteran Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze. And on Wednesday, in our homeroom segment, looming cuts in Wisconsin school districts where referendums failed a couple of weeks back. And then Thursday and Friday, we will replay some of our favorite interviews over the past few months or so. We are joined now by Mark Jacob. Mark also is a veteran Chicago journalist who has the newsletter Stop the Presses. Find it at stopthepresses.news, along with his video series with Stephen Beschloss, which has been rebranded. It's now called On Target. Mark Jacob, how are you?
Doing well.
You too. This is what kept me busy the whole break. We just got done talking about Blue Sky and its alternative to Twitter and folks leaving Twitter for Blue Sky. And we talked about starter packs. And I don't know, was it Jennifer Schulze herself or somebody else who put together a list of reliable journalism sites?
That was Jennifer.
I cannot believe how many new sites have joined recently. I have to come back and do part two of going through all of these and adding them to my feed. There is definitely, just a mass migration, not the kind that Trump wants, but the kind that's a mass self-deportation away from Elon Musk and Twitter.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And I've been on Blue Sky for most of a year, but I was not that active. I was on Twitter because, it was the big thing and I didn't want to retreat, cede the field to Musk and his crazy lies and just disinformation. And I stayed on Twitter till the election. And after the election, I just reassessed. And, the deal is, if you're on Twitter, I mean, everyone can make their own choice, Pat. I'm not telling anyone else what to do. But if you're creating content for Elon Musk on X for free so he can make money and become more powerful and influential. You know, that doesn't sound like a great move to me. And no. So I got off.
And it's this whole notion of a billionaire essentially being a shadow cabinet member or practically vice president at this point is never a healthy thing for democracy.
That's another reason to get off of it. For me, it was, you know, and he's not, you know, he goes through no vetting process, no confirmation. This supposed department of government efficiency isn't even a government agency. It's some sort of private weird thing that will somehow have tremendous influence over how the government operates, according to him. And so it's extremely suspicious, very dodgy. I mean, what's going on here? And that guy, and the fact, Pat, that we have such income inequality in this country that some incredibly rich guy can just decide to lose $44 billion on Twitter and make it bad on purpose, but make it more effective as a propaganda instrument is really alarming.
And it will be in the history books, looking back, going, how did people sleep their way through this? I want to address something on the text line. John in Milwaukee texts in from our last segment, talking about Gates and Pam Bondi. He writes, Trump is playing chess while you are playing checkers. You all fell for the old okey-doke when you concentrated on Matt Gates. I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think it's the job of good journalism to acknowledge the Gates things while opening up the blinders a little wider to say, right, you know, Trump is about much more than Matt Gates or Elon Musk or any one person, and don't fall for these sideshows.
Right. I mean, I guess I disagree with that. It's an interesting thought, but you know, you can look at Gates and how completely unqualified he was and dangerous he was as an AG pick, but that doesn't mean that you've given RFK Jr. a pass or, you know, or Tulsi Gabbard or some of these, you know, Hegseth. I mean,
I was going to say Hegseth is going to be next. I mean, Matt Gaetz, if people think, well, Matt Gaetz was the sacrificial lamb and now everybody else is going to get through.
No way.
I would say no chance. Hegseth is going to be out by the time we talk 2 weeks from now, if not much sooner.
Well, we'll see. And I think the real question is whether there are hearings, whether, you know, Trump tries to, you know, jump the line and not have, you know, a process in which there actually is a confirmation. If he does those, you know, if he gets him in without that, if this Congress decides to completely sacrifice any power it has and let him just kind of stick people in offices without hearings, we'll have to see. But I mean, if there are hearings, yeah, they're going to be very interesting because Hegseth is really unqualified. RFK Jr. is a threat to our health, and Gabbard, you know, loves Putin. And why would, Pat, why would any Western democracy share intelligence information with the United States if Tulsi Gabbard is handling that information?
Exactly. So I do think in the realm of, you know, the big picture and throwing out some of these more outlandish nominees, I want to make the point that for folks who are saying, well, you guys are just picking on Trump and you're going to say no to all of his nominees. No. He won the election, and somebody should be allowed to stack their cabinet with people that I may not agree with. I happen to think Pam Bondi, you know, is disqualified because of her support for the big lie, but that is Trump's choice. She's going to be terrible, but I don't think any Republican senators are going to stand up against her. The point being, they should stand up when some kind of a line is crossed. Gates clearly crossed the line. Hegseth clearly crossed the line. There's still going to be plenty of other nominees we're not going to like. Trump's going to get most of his picks. It's just that you don't get anybody, even if they're, you know, adjudicated, you know, rapists or things like that.
Right. Well, I mean, I feel like that Trump put up Gates just as a little test to see I think he would have wanted him as AG. I mean, I don't think it was totally an okie doke. I mean, I think what he wanted to do is just test the waters a little bit and see how outrageous and how autocratic he could be and how much the Senate would just fold to any pick. Because I mean, there's not a giant reservoir of bravery and courage among Senate Republicans, let's face it. So, I mean, I think that it was just a test to see whether anyone would object to anything he did. And he found that there was just this little sliver of courage or decency
backbone
left.
Or something.
Yeah, something,
right.
But not a lot, but some, and which is actually encouraging considering how much the Republican Party has just done the El Foldo to his. I mean, to me, Pat, in this whole Trump era, there are always people like Trump. There's always criminals and con artists. But the thing that's most alarming about what's happened in America is that an entire major political party has just folded to fascism, has just decided it's great for my career if we just dump democracy. That's what they've decided.
And if we run enough ads, you know, that are targeting transgender people, right, and folks, right, like that, you know, they can then get in power, amass their power, undermine democracy, cut taxes for billionaires. When the fact of the matter is, at the very top of your blue sky feed right now, you make note that in other countries, past leaders have been held to account when they do things like, you know, plot a coup, say, right, in Brazil.
Right, right. And it's not like Brazil is some great, you know, paragon of virtue as far as democracy, but they've been at least as serious about addressing the, you know, threat to democracy as we have, maybe more so. I mean, it's just the thing that really disturbs me about what's happened in this country is in four years, you couldn't get Trump into a courtroom to answer for January 6th. I mean, you talk about history. Historians look at this, if there is any legitimate history in the future, they will say, how in the heck could a democracy not put somebody in a courtroom to face charges when he attempted a coup? I mean, and instead allow him to come back into power. I mean, that is just such a failure of our system. And, you know, and it's what we're dealing with it now. I mean, I'm not like giving up or, you know, rending my clothes or anything. I'm not, you know, the funny thing is people say, well, how do you feel? Well, I feel bummed out about the election, but I'm not giving up. I think there's still plenty to do. And there's, this is a great country and we need to fight for it. And it's not over yet. It's one election. And just to rant just a little bit more on this, mm-hmm. You know, if you looked at the Roe versus Wade ruling in the 70s, and you looked at the election of Barack Obama, those are both crushing defeats for the right wing. Both of them crushing defeats. It was like, oh my gosh, this country, what's happening to us? But what did they do? Did they give up or did they like fight back? Did they come back and say, well, all right, we lost this one big time, but we're going to come back and we're going to fight? And what the answer was that they came back with decades of propaganda and dark money and dirty tricks, but determination. I mean, they came back from that, and we can come back from that.
To quote Animal House, did we give up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Right, right, exactly. I mean, actually, I thought of that clip. And yes, I mean, so, you know, I mean, we can all feel bad about it, but let's move on and, you know, do better next time. But at the same time, what I'm trying to do is balance my optimism with my realism, because yes, we're in a bad situation and things are going to get really bad when he gets in power. Because I mean, if he does half the stuff he said he's going to do, it's going to be really bad, folks. It's not going to be, I mean, we shouldn't pretend, oh, well, we'll just come back. It won't be a problem. It'll be a big problem. We're going to go through some things. We really are.
We are. And when Jennifer Schulze is here next Tuesday at 7:30, we're going to focus more on how much fearlessness we need from journalism, from reporters to not back down, to go on and continue to investigate and everything. So we'll continue that part of the conversation, right, Tuesday, but let's continue the messaging part of it. Because again, you help with us here at Courier Newsroom, and this whole notion of, again, a media and messaging ecosystem that, in the case of, you know, Courier and others, is, yeah, it's left of center. It's out there saying these are our values, right, but also that we're not going to make stuff up, which, right, is what you've seen so often in the far right media system.
Right. I mean, I really don't believe that there's anything as real objective media. I mean, when I was at the Chicago Tribune, it was a supposedly objective news source. But when I walked in every day and said, let's cover this story, and this story, I wasn't saying go cover every story in the city. I was picking out what I thought was good for our readers. And so I was making value judgments. That's what all news organizations do. And so I don't have any objection. I don't have any objection to Fox News if they didn't lie about stuff. I mean, they're allowed to be conservative. Fine, be conservative, be anti-abortion. I find that to be a legitimate opinion. I don't share it, but I find it to be a legitimate opinion. And same thing with, if you don't believe that any people should be covered by government-sponsored healthcare, legitimate opinion. I don't agree with it, a legitimate opinion. But it's the lying, Pat. It's the making up stuff. And it's also not just the lying. It's the lying and the hatred, like that the thing with that transgender lawmaker, you know, this week. You know, where you're just trying to be mean spirited and nasty to people, and you're trying to exploit fear for political benefit.
It gets back again to this whole notion of we can disagree. And to take it to Blue Sky, for example, you've got folks on the right saying, oh, the left is building their own echo chamber. No. this is still any place we can debate. Right. It's when you're debating with lies or with violent rhetoric or with threats, the things that used to get you kicked off Twitter,
right,
but now get you accelerated on Twitter. That's why folks, you know, are moving to a different platform. So to conservatives, I would say, get over there on Blue Sky, have sure. disagreements on the issues. Just don't be surprised that, you know, when you reach a certain threshold of insults, violent rhetoric or threats, that you're then, you know, muted, blocked, kicked off, whatever the case may be, the way the rest of us do it in real life.
Right, exactly. But I mean, what X or Twitter was doing was just inviting the Nazis in. And it was, and I'm not talking about Nazis in some sort of vague sense. I'm talking about neo-Nazis.
Actual Nazis.
Yes. Real Nazis, who what was the post that Nick Fuentes, the guy from around Chicago area, believe it or not, who's one of the leading kind of young neo-Nazis, what did he say? Your body, my choice. So in effect, he's promoting rape culture on Twitter.
Yeah. And that's what people are saying. That's enough of that. We'll still continue to, you know, message against that in the media, fight against it in the courts, lobby against it in the Capitol, and other reporters will work on, you know, investigative journalism pieces. It's just that, you know, we don't have to tolerate that in our day-to-day social media. Mark Jacobs has a newsletter that you can get at stopthepresses.news. And look for his video series with Stephen Beschloss on Target and find him on Blue Sky. Thank you so much, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you then.
All right. Let's see. Mr. Dan Schumacher. Yes, he's here. And back after this, you're up north. You got a friend
in me. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now, normally, Greg Bach and Dan Schumacher are in sync when it comes to Grateful Dead music. It's one of the very few times that Greg is actually trolling Dan with Grateful Dead music. What'd you pick there, Mr. Bach?
A tribute of my life, right?
tribute to your Cubs, to your Bears, and even your Blackhawks. It's Broke Down Palace.
Sorry, buddy.
From the album The Addicts. Good one. It's a depressing song.
We've been worried that, like, how many more are we, like, one more Bears loss away from not hearing from Dan on Fridays anymore? How you holding
out? I'm telling you, it's just horrible. The organization. I mean, still to that block field goal.
Do you know how many pieces of video are out there of fans filming themselves? They were going to film themselves, you know, with the winning field goal. And instead, I've seen so many videos that people have posted of themselves or their partners losing their minds.
Destroying their TVs.
Yes.
But that's the coach. It's all coach. To me, that was the 40. You have one timeout.
Yep.
You have 40 seconds left. Yep. It is second down. Why not run a couple more plays, then use your timeout with 3 seconds left, and then try a closer field goal.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. And it just blew. That's what blew my mind. Even before the kick happened, I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah, because the Packers noted afterwards, and okay, we'll say hindsight's 20/20, but they said, we said we noticed that on his previous kick that he kicks at a low angle.
Mm-hmm.
So you really do want to get as close as humanly possible. And that's, that was clearly a coaching failure on the Bears' part.
So in the last week, what they got rid of their offensive coordinator, the second one in 9 months they've gotten rid of. So they're an organization that's in disarray, and when it should be the head coach that really makes it, it should be held responsible, and but it's not. And,
well, we have said that in the Norse division of the NFC here, everybody has their time in the wilderness. For the Packers, it was the whole 70s and 80s. For Detroit, it was the past 20 plus years until just recently. Now they seem to be enjoying their emergence from the wandering in the desert. The Bears are kind of in that wilderness area right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they had a really good draft. That's the part that blows my mind. They had so many draft picks. They got the number one quarterback in the draft. I don't know. It's the organization itself. The McCaskies, just like Jerry Jones, should sell a team.
That's what I was just going to ask. It's not so much the players. It's the coaches and the coaching staff not being able to guide the players to doing good work.
Wait a minute. I was about to rip on the Browns because they've had some good draft picks, but they haven't done well. They actually beat the Steelers last night, 24-19.
In the snow.
It looked miserable out there. Yeah. I felt so bad for that Prime Video crew, because a week or two ago, they're in L.A., they're on the field for the game, looking good, and this time they got the sideways snow just knocking them in the face. But that's...
Well, these next two games for the Bears don't get any easier. You got the Vikings, and then you got to go on Thanksgiving get your handed to you by Detroit.
But I was just saying, they're playing the Lions.
I mean, that's two tough games in a row. I just don't see them coming out even one. They're going to be 0-2 the next week. So.
No. And then the Packers, meanwhile, their game against the 49ers this Sunday is at 3:25. You can catch that game on some Civic Media stations. And then they play Thanksgiving as well. They've got the night game for Thanksgiving. They play at home against the Miami Dolphins. 7:20 start there. So it's going to be a busy Thanksgiving for the NFC North.
Probably one of the more better teams in the NFL that's improving, which is the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's not a slouch.
We are in high school football tournament time. We had the first four games yesterday. I think three more games today. You're getting into the winter sports season. The basketball teams are starting to heat things up. What do you make of? We had some fun with this earlier this morning about where the Marquette men, the Badger men, the Badger women, where they're all going, these tropical locations for Thanksgiving weekend tournaments. I know it's not a brand new trend. It just, for some reason, seems more noticeable that more of these places are getting deals to attract teams.
Yeah, they get guaranteed money to come down there. The guys who are throwing the tournament, whoever the main sponsor is. But in the end, it's all about recruiting, and to offer those type of trips and experiences to a recruit as part of the part of the recruiting process. You see it at Division II and Division III, taking holiday trips, just to make you look more attractive from an experience standpoint and go play somewhere warm when you're in Northern State. So I know it's been going, like you said, Pat, it's been going on, but it just becomes more noticeable, especially, three Wisconsin teams taking off for the holiday.
If I read correctly, the Marquette one, which is at the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas, has no TV deal because you've got all these big college football games this weekend, and then you've got Thanksgiving weekend, and they're getting ready for tournaments in other places. And so, if you want to watch the Marquette men, I believe streaming is your only option for that. So there's definitely good and bad sides that go along with that.
Because they're in the Big East, right, Marquette?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure on the Big East website, they'll have it live streamed.
They said it's a Flow Sports, I think, is what whatever that is. I mean, everybody's changed names. Bally is now what? FanDuel. You need a program not to track the teams, but just the places they're going to be broadcasting. Do you have a fun Thanksgiving plan ahead of you? Are you going to do a little hunting?
I am going to do a little hunting Monday and Tuesday. Get out in the woods. Got some things I got to take care of this weekend. We have a home event, and then then I'll probably travel back to see the kids for Thanksgiving.
All right.
My daughter's going to host Thanksgiving, so it'll be nice to see her cook. Uh-huh. And I sit on the couch and watch football.
I like a proud papa that you are. I did the same thing when my daughter cooked last weekend in Idaho. So
my job is only to bring pies.
There you go.
I bring two pies.
Same. We know what we know. That's perfect. Thank you, Dan. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving,
you as well. Dan. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Aaron Eric coming up at noon. So enjoy that as well. And thanks to all of you for joining us here on Up North News Radio, where we will do, again, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday shows. And then we'll play some of our favorite interviews back on Thursday and Friday. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning, 6 a.m. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.